ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय.
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 23 एंटाइटल्ड द ब्राह्मणास वाइफ्स ब्लेस्ड. टेक्स्ट नंबर 33. श्रवणाद्दर्शनाद्यानां मयि भावो अनुकीर्तनात् न तथा सन्निकर्षेण प्रतीयाता ततो गृहान् श्रवणाद्दर्शनाद्यानां मयि भावो अनुकीर्तनात् न तथा सन्निकर्षेण प्रतीयाता ततो गृहान्. श्रवणादर्शनाध्यानां मयि भावानुकीर्तनात् न तथा सन्निकर्षेण प्रतीयाता ततो गृहान्. मतजिस् श्रवणादर्शनाध्यानां मयि भावानुकीर्तना न तथा सन्निकर्षेण प्रतीयता ततः गृहम्. श्रवणात् बाय हियरिंग, दर्शनात् बाय सीइंग द डेटी फॉर्म, ध्यानात् बाय मेडिटेशन. मयि फॉर मी, भाव लव. अनुकीर्तना बाय चैंटिंग माई नेम्स एंड क्वालिटीज. न नॉट तथा इन द सेम वे. सन्निकर्षणा बाय लिटरल प्रॉक्सिमिटी. प्रतियात रिटर्न ततः देयरफॉर गृहान टू योर होम्स. Translation: it is by hearing about me, seeing my deity form, meditating upon me, and chanting my names and glories that love for me develops, not by physical proximity. Therefore, please go back to your homes. This verse doesn't have a purport, so we'll continue reading the next verse. Shri Shukuvacha iti ukta dviji patnyasta यज्ञवाताम् पुनर्गतः ते चाणुष्यवस्ताभिः स्त्रीभिः सत्रम् अपारयम्. श्री सुखदेव गोस्वामी सेड, दस इंस्ट्रक्टेड द वाइव्स ऑफ द ब्राह्मणास रिटर्न टू द प्लेस ऑफ सैक्रिफाइस. द ब्राह्मणास डिड नॉट फाइंड एनी फॉल्ट विद देयर वाइव्स एंड टुगेदर विद देम दे फिनिश्ड द सैक्रिफाइस. परपोर्ट बाय the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The wives of the Brahmanas obeyed Lord Krishna's order and returned to the sacrificial arena of their husbands. Whereas the gopis, although ordered by Krishna to go home, remained in the forest to dance with Him through the full moon night. Both the gopis and the Brahmanas' wives achieved pure love of Godhead. ओम अज्ञान्तिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरोन्मीलितां येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोऽभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतः पदकमलं श्रीगुरोन्वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपां साग्रजातां सहगणा रघुनाथां वितां तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितंश्च हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धु दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तुते तप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गे राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वञ्चकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामो हरे रामो राम रामो हरे हरे Read the translations again. It is by hearing about me, seeing my deity form, meditating upon me, and chanting my names and glories that love for me develops, not by physical proximity. Therefore, please go back to your homes. Srila Sukadeva Goswami said, Thus instructed, the wives of the Brahmanas returned to the place of sacrifice. The Brahmanas did not find any fault with their wives, and together with them, they finished the sacrifice. Hare Krishna. By some divine mystical arrangement, I'm sitting here to speak today's Bhagavatam class. I was scheduled to speak next week, but then two times change happened and I landed up speaking today. Actually, when Baldev Ru allotted my Bhagavatam slot, he actually allotted to me today's verse. But then I told him I'm giving a Sunday feast 2 days before. So then he changed it to the next week. And then the devotees who were supposed to speak today and tomorrow, they both came to me differently and they said, can you exchange? And they came back to the same slot. So, though unqualified and definitely not pure enough to speak this subject matter, but because some things are beyond your control, I am forced to speak. This particular verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam is the epitome of this particular pastime. And actually, we're all waiting to hear this from Krishna, all these verses. This is the essence of the whole pastime of the Brahmana Patnis and the Yagyik Brahmanas. Krishna is himself teaching us how to develop love for him. There are different types of teachers. There are some teachers who teach and walk away. There are some teachers who teach and they follow what they teach. And there are some teachers who teach through experiential learning. So Krishna is a combination of all these. He teaches the Gita and he walks away. But then, through the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are so many powerful lessons where he is into the pastime and is giving us so many lessons. So, this particular pastime is a very special pastime because it shows how Krishna is sensitive at the same time loving. Because generally somebody who is a lover tends to be insensitive because he thinks about himself. He thinks about what am I going to gain from it. The world is filled with such lovers. Insensitive lovers, because there is self in the center whenever such love stories exist. whenever there is love between two people and the love is filled with self-centeredness, I want to achieve something out of this relationship, I want to achieve something out of this love, there is no sensitivity. In fact, we hear so many stories of people throwing acid on each other, we hear so many stories of people killing one another because of such love which is insensitive. Here is Krishna exhibiting love because he is God and in a way which is so sensitive. He is telling the Brahmana Patnis, go back home because you have to do your duties towards your husbands. And at the same time, he is not rejecting their need for loving him. He is not rejecting their need for connecting with him. He is giving a process how to do it. Many times, people who take up Krishna consciousness, devotional service, this is one complaint that the family has. This person, rather than loving us, is loving Krishna. He has become so mad about Krishna. You know, how can such a person practice bhakti? Does bhakti mean that giving up your family, giving up all your attachments and just running after Krishna? So people have these questions. So here is Krishna's answer. So Krishna is talking about a process which when followed develops love towards him. And it's not a rocket science. It's not a very, very complicated process that Krishna is talking about. He's talking about an essential simple process which practically each and every one of us have been hearing from day one. But when it comes out from Krishna's mouth, it has some extra special potency. You know, Shravanat, Darshanat, Dhyanat, Mayi Bhavo, Anukirtanat. This is something that what we have been doing from day one of our devotion. Shravan, hearing, Darshan, having Darshan of the deities, Dhyan, meditating on the glories and the pastimes of the Lord, and Anukirtan, singing the glories of the Lord. What is so big in it? But here, the key factor which Krishna is emphasizing, and we have to re-emphasize every time we do these four things, whether it is hearing, whether it is darshan, whether it is dhyan, whether it is kirtan, the key factor that Krishna is emphasizing, which we have to re-emphasize to ourselves, is mayi bhavo. Do it with bhav, with devotion and with love. When these four things are done with the spirit of love and devotion, then these four things can give you connection with Krishna. And then, if these four things are done, then we don't have to give up what we are doing. Then we don't have to give up in our situation. We don't have to create some change in our lives. Lives remain the same, but the consciousness in which we are living changes. So, this concept of love, which Krishna is talking about, is what we need to understand in a factual way. So, here, when Krishna is talking about Shravanam, what is the quality of Shravanam Krishna is talking about? How do we hear? When, in a mundane world, when a boy and girl fall in love with each other, the boy, he talks about his own qualities, how great he is, and how powerful he is, how intelligent he is, how smart he is, and on and on and on. And the girl, she talks about her greatness. She talks about how beautiful she is. She talks about, you know, how many friends she has. She talks about what kind of family she's come from, what kind of qualities she has. And then, when they do such shravanam about each other, then slowly love arises. So essentially, love arises when you see qualities. So the process in which love towards Krishna arises is that it starts with jnana, knowledge. When we acquire knowledge about Krishna, jnana leads to akarshan, which is attraction. Attraction leads to anurag, which is affection. Anurag leads to utsaha, which is enthusiasm. Utsaha leads to nischay, which is nishta, which is determination. And nishta leads to the concept of seva, which is service. And seva gives rise to atma samarpan, dedication. Everything begins with knowledge. Why we are doing what we are doing? Why do we connect to Krishna? Why Krishna after all? When we intensely hear about how to serve Krishna, why to serve Krishna, who is Krishna, then such a jnana, it leads to akarshan, develop attraction towards Krishna. When you connect to new people, when you start connecting with new people, the first time somebody comes, there is no question of akarshan. There is absolutely no question of akarshan. If at all they have anything, it is, you know, distraction, looking all over, absolutely no akarshan. But when you hear, when you keep hearing, when you acquire knowledge, then it leads to akarshan. And akarshan leads to affection. There is a difference between attraction and affection. Attraction means the pull. Affection means love. When attraction develops to a greater extent, it turns to affection, it turns to love. And what is the meaning of love? Love eventually leads to enthusiasm. And what does enthusiasm lead to? Enthusiasm leads to determination. Determination means, come what may, I'm not going to give up this. That's the stage which is after enthusiasm. Enthusiasm is the easiest to develop in one sense. But enthusiasm sustained over a long period of time needs determination. And such determination leads to the desire to serve. And such service, such seva, the attitude of wanting to give, attitude of wanting to do something beyond your comfort zone, that attitude leads to atmasamarpan, dedication. So here, the Brahmana Patnis are in the stage of dedication. They are in the stage of atmasamarpan. They are in the stage of giving their lives to Krishna. And Krishna is telling them, go back home. And because they are actually in the stage of atmasamarpan, they actually go back home also. If somebody is not in the stage of atmasamarpan and is acting like doing atmasamarpan, such a person feels, I want to do what I want to do. But here the Brahmana Patnis just follow what Krishna is saying. Of course, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains that the gopis didn't follow what Krishna said. But that's another level of love, because gopis understood what Krishna wanted. If you understand what Krishna wants and if you understand what the Guru wants, then you have the right not to follow the instructions. Because you know the Guru is telling you or Krishna is telling you to do something, but he actually means to do something else. But then, most of the times, we are at this stage of not really understanding the internal mood of the spiritual master or the Supreme Lord. Better to follow. And, or clarify at least. So here, the Brahmana Patnis, their love for Krishna has risen up. How did it rise up? Because technically, from the village point of view, they are in a different village. They are not really in the village of Vrindavan. They are in a different village. But then, the devotees, the Vrajavasis from the village of Vrindavan, they would travel around and they would share the pastimes of the Lord. The vegetable sellers, the flower sellers, the fruit sellers, the different traders, they would travel from one village to another. And these simple household ladies, they have the greatest fortune of dealing with such people, you know. So, sometimes complexity destroys the simplicity of the heart. And complex people need complex explanations. And simple people need simple explanations. When you preach to somebody who is a scientist, or somebody who is an engineer, somebody who is a doctor, you need to explain the same thing in such a complicated way. I mean, bhakti is such a simple thing. Tell, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Surrender to Krishna. Ijivara Swarupai Krishna Nitya Das. But if you tell somebody that, who is having a complicated mind, immediately there is repulsion. When there is simplicity, there is immediate attraction. But when there is complication, there is repulsion. So the same thing has to be explained in a very, very complicated way. The Brahmanas, they need a very complicated explanation of what this really means. Or they need an experiential learning. So here the Brahmana Patnis, they just heard from vegetable sellers, fruit sellers, that Krishna is doing so many wonderful pastimes. They never analyzed Krishna's pastimes. They never ever analyzed. I mean, if you have not seen how Bakasur was killed by Krishna, how can you comprehend how Krishna killed Bakasur? A huge bird eating Krishna within his mouth, Krishna tearing apart the beaks and falling off. It just doesn't make sense. A huge snake, Krishna tearing away the snake and coming out, just doesn't make sense. And in the same tone, the Vrajavasis would explain to them the sweeter pastimes of Krishna, which are not really exhibiting his wonder, which are exhibiting his sweetness. They talk about how Krishna is dragged all over Vrindavan by a calf, because Krishna is holding the calf's tail. They talk about how Krishna is stealing other people's butter and he gets caught and he gets scolded by Mother Yashoda and crying tears. In the same simple style, they explain about how Krishna is carrying the wooden slippers of Nanda Maharaj on his head and walking around the courtyard. Now, when somebody hears two opposite things about the same person, how do you conclude what is the character of such a person? Very difficult. Very difficult to comprehend. But for the Brahmana Patnis, nothing was complicated because they were simple. They could accept everything as it is. So, what does Shravan, what does good hearing lead to? Shukadeva Goswami explains to Parikshit Maharaj the qualities of what good Shravan leads to. He says, this is in the 10th canto, in the 7th chapter of the 10th canto, he says that Yakshanvato api apiti arhayati vitrishna satvam ja shuddhyeti achirena pumsham bhaktir haram tad purushe cha sakyam tadeva haram vadamanya sechet. He says there are 6 things that manifest as a result of good hearing. Benefits, 6 benefits of good hearing. First thing that he talks about is apiyeti aratir, which means that the living entity, the jiva, has a natural unattractiveness towards Krishna. Natural unattractiveness. That unattractiveness disappears when you hear about the Supreme Lord's pastimes. Envy is the reason for which we have come down to the material world. Everyone wants to be the center of attraction. But unfortunately, in the spiritual world, there is only one center of attraction, which is Krishna. And the moment you put anything in that center, there is, the whole center gets disrupted, you know. Just like you have these jellies, you know, you put something on the jelly, you throw a stone on it, or you throw something on it, immediately the whole thing shakes up, you know. So in the spiritual world, anyone or any living entity trying to put himself in the center, he creates a turbulence in the spiritual world. Thrown out immediately, you know. Like these jumping, you know, you have these, in the exercise room, you have these jumping machines, you know. Keep jumping on it, jumping on it, jumping on it. And if you jump too much, you get thrown off, you know. Similarly, in the spiritual world, if anybody tries to jump too much, he gets thrown off. The natural unattractiveness is there in the heart. Shukadeva Goswami says, the first thing that happens is apati arhatir, which means the unattractiveness gets destroyed, it vanishes. The second thing that happens when you hear attentively is shuddhyet achirena pumsa. Shuddhyet means the dirty things in the mind, unlimited dirty things in the mind vanishes. And then vitrishna, apeti aratir vitrishna. Vitrishna means the attachment for material things starts vanishing. Somebody was sharing with me some days back that they've taken up Krishna consciousness very recently. And I mean, if you see them, you will not even believe that such people can become devotees. But the whole process has affected them so strongly that they've really taken shelter of the process. In the initial stages, one thing they were wondering is, how is it possible that we can give up some certain habits? I said, don't worry, just continue and do whatever you can. And the same people today, they're calling me and they're telling me that, Prabhuji, we don't feel like watching television. For 4 weeks, we have not even put on the television. For me, it was a shock because, you know, I mean, such people not putting on the television for 4 weeks, that is always like a, you know, change. And they say that when you put on the television, we find nothing attractive in it. It doesn't make any sense. Vitrishna, the attachment for material things decrease. It doesn't mean that the material things lose their attractive ability, but because you have been attracted to something higher, those things seem very pale. Just like if somebody buys a new t-shirt, a new cloth. In front of the new cloth, you keep an old, pale, dirty-looking t-shirt. What's the attractiveness? There's absolutely no attractiveness to the old one because the new one is more attractive. Similarly, the freshness of Krishna consciousness negates the attachments to material things that one experiences. Sattvam cha shuddhyet. The fourth thing that Shukadeva Goswami is talking about is one rises to the mode of goodness. Rising to the mode of goodness is also a difficult task, right? The material modes drag you down. And here, the automatic benefit of hearing attentively is that you rise to the mode of goodness. And then, the next thing that happens is, bhakti harau, tat purushe cha sakyam. Bhakti harau means, the dormant love that is there in the heart, it awakens. And purushe cha sakyam means, one develops friendship towards devotees. When one does these six things attentively, these are the manifestations of good hearing. So the Brahmana Patnis, if you study from this perspective, the six things perspective, you find their love for each other is so strong. Their connection with each other is so strong. We were analyzing some time back, you know, love triangles. Love triangles always are disastrous because two people love the same person. Not possible to live with each other or, you know, understand each other. Here is not just a love triangle. This is a love multi-angle, you know. I mean, there's one person, so many people are loving. So many Brahmana Patnis. It's not Brahmana Patni, you know, Brahmana Patnis. So many people loving one person. So, such kind of love can arise when the center is Krishna. When there is one person and that one person is Krishna. Cannot happen with anybody else. So, and such love arises, purushesha sakyam, friendship within devotees, you know, cleansing of the heart, the unattractiveness disappears, all these happens when somebody does not hear ritualistically, but hears from the heart. There are two types of hearing. One is called as pseudo-hearing. Pseudo-hearing means you're hearing. Everything is going in, but you're not hearing with the spirit of wanting to follow or believe in what you're hearing. And true hearing, which is actually hearing from the heart, is wanting to believe and wanting to follow every word you hear. That's the kind of hearing that the Brahmana Patnis did. When they were hearing about Krishna, how did the love awaken within their hearts? It was not that the love within, of course, the love within the heart was forever. But from this pastime's perspective, the love arose when they heard from their hearts. When they heard attentively about the pastimes of the Lord. So, the beauty of such hearing is that it creates the right effect. Knowledge of the Vedas, whatever knowledge is there in the Vedas, is like paddy or rice which is removed from the fields. When rice is removed from the fields, you know, a lot of grains come out, you know, uncooked. Unpalatable. You can't eat it directly. You can only eat it to break a fast. Maybe one grain. That's it. You can't really eat it. Other books, you know, the books that are not really Vedic, are compared to husk. When you beat the, you know, the paddy, rice comes out and husk comes out. The rice that comes out is compared to the Vedic knowledge. And the husk that comes out, the useless part, is compared to all other knowledge. And the Bhagavad Gita, the knowledge that the Krishna gives, is like cooked rice. Palatable. Can immediately eat it, you know. And Srimad Bhagavatam is like rice which is cooked with added fragrance, kaju, kishmish, jeera, and so many other things. Really attractive. You feel like eating it. And when the same stories of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the same content of the Bhagavad Gita, is explained by a self-realized spiritual master, explained by a great teacher, it is like putting that fragrant, cooked, amazing rice in your mouth. I remember in our childhood, my grandmother would tell me stories. And I wouldn't eat without my grandmother telling me stories. And the amazing thing was, she would always tell me a story which would keep my mouth open. And the moment my mouth would open, she would put one, you know, morsel of food in my mouth. You know? So the role of the guru, the role of the teacher, is to make a conducive atmosphere by which our mouth remains open. And then the spiritual master inserts the fragrant rice, which is really palatable. But unfortunately, even the fragrant rice is so palatable, we have no taste for it. So therefore, the spiritual master has to, the guru, the teacher, the role of the teacher is to create attractiveness towards something that is already attractive. And then, when the right atmosphere is there, knowledge goes in. So there are different ways of seeing the same knowledge or understanding concepts of knowledge. There is something known as microscopic vision, where you see things that are really small and microscopic. Then there is something known as macroscopic vision, see things that are broad. Then there is something known as infrascopic vision, which is seeing something very subtle. Then there is something known as ultrascopic vision, seeing something that is complicated. Then there is something known as penetroscopic vision, seeing something that is hidden. And then there is abioscopic vision, seeing something very deep. And then there is telescopic vision, seeing something that is very far. And then finally, there is something known as parascopic vision, which is seeing something beyond matter, beyond the material realms. So, these kind of visions, at least the parascopic vision, is not possible for an ordinary living entity. This requires a vision which is beyond the material realms. That is the role of a teacher. That is the role of a teacher. The teacher's role is to make us see those things that cannot be seen. How can we see Krishna's pastimes? How can we understand Krishna's pastimes? How can we comprehend Krishna's pastimes? The same pastimes of Krishna, which are so incomprehensible, is made palatable by the vision of the spiritual master. So, hearing is one of the strongest ways in which we can develop our love for Krishna. And beyond hearing is darshan, is seeing the form of the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, explains the different effects that happen when we see Krishna's form. Every aspect of Krishna's beautiful form creates some difference in our consciousness, difference in our life. If just seeing Krishna is a matter of appreciating colors, it's one thing. If it is a matter of appreciating fashionable styles, it's another thing. I interact with a lot of fashion designers. So one of the things that attracts them to the temple is dress. But when they get attracted to Krishna's dress and they come to hear something, then they forget the dress and they focus on the form. The first thing that attracts, the Srimad Bhagavatam takes us on a zoom into Krishna's beautiful features. And every aspect of Krishna's features is given an explanation how it affects our lives. Nothing in Krishna's life, nothing in Krishna's actions, and nothing in Krishna's forms is just like that. Every word Krishna speaks, every action that Krishna does, and every aspect of Krishna's form has something to do with our lives. When we see Krishna's beautiful toenails, it is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, that it dispels the thick gloom in our heart. When people come into this temple hall, they come with a thick gloom in the heart. The gloom that is really, really covering over like a fog. You can't see anything practically. But when you meditate on the lotus, the toenails of Krishna, the thick gloom in the heart gets dispelled. When one meditates on the lotus feet of Krishna, the lotus feet of Krishna act like a thunderbolt. And they shatter the sin of somebody who is looking at the lotus feet. The thunderbolt is supposed to shatter mountains. And just like all of us, at least me for sure, we have mountains of sin. When you look at the lotus feet of the Lord, the lotus feet of the Lord is like a thunderbolt, which shatters the mountains of sin. The thighs of the Lord is like a storehouse of energy. All of us are always lacking energy in this world. One of the things that everyone complains about, energy is not there. So the thighs of the Lord is a storehouse of all energy. The navel of the Lord is the foundation of the universe. By taking shelter of the navel of the Lord, we take shelter of the foundation principle of the universe. The chest of the Lord is a source of pleasure for the mind and satisfaction for the eyes. The mind is always seeking different things to seek pleasure. The chest of the Lord is giving pleasure. The neck of the Lord, it enhances the beauty of the Kaustubh jewel. The arms of the Lord is a source of power to the demigods. The pearl necklace which is adorned on the Lord represents the different living entities in service of the Lord. Each pearl in the necklace represents one of us. Krishna has unlimited pearls. It's like that. It's not exactly an allegorical thing only. It's a real thing. The living entity from the Lord's perspective, when somebody takes shelter of Krishna through the medium of seva, the Lord actually feels that one more pearl is added to my necklace. The face of the Lord is compared to a lotus. The beautiful, lovely hairs of the Lord are compared to a bumblebee, which moves around the lotus. And the eyes of the Lord, the two eyes of the Lord, are compared to two fishes, which moves around the lotus. So here is a comparison of a lotus, around which, on top of which, bumblebees are roaming around, and below which, fishes are roaming around. And the eyes of the Lord are compared to ocean of compassion, and the eyes of the Lord smooths the fear the living entity has towards the three kleshas, Adidevik, Adiatmik, and Adibhautik klesh. When you look at the eyes of the Lord, so darshanat, shravanat, darshanat, dhyanat. Dhyana is meditation. Now when we talk about meditation, what are we talking about? Today the word meditation is very, very common. Everybody wants to do meditation, though no one really knows what meditation is. From the perspective of the acharyas, from the perspective of the Guru Parampara, one aspect of what meditation really means is meditating on how to use our time effectively in serving Krishna and expanding the mission. That is considered to be meditation. If you study the acharyas, if you study some of the exalted devotees of the Lord, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you find them constantly meditating. One of the qualities of a devotee is he is avyarta kalatvam. Doesn't lose one moment in thinking about anything other than trying to focus on Krishna, chanting the holy names, glories, the pastimes of the Lord, or focusing on how to take Krishna to so many people. This quality of meditation is an important quality from the perspective of pleasing the Lord. And kirtanat, anukirtanat. It's easy to chant Hare Krishna, but it is difficult to chant in the right mood. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 11th canto, there is a story of the Avanti Brahman. The story is such a fascinating story, but it's actually a story that happens in everybody's life. Avanti Brahman, you know, in the past, very rich, very, very powerful, very, very strong, very, very opulent, but very, very proud. How many people we find in this world having this combination, right? So many people, when everything is good in life, there is every chance to be proud. This man, he was extremely proud of his wealth, extremely miserly, not wanting to share, absolutely arrogant. At some point of time, the government took over his property because of certain things that happened, and then thieves plundered his house. You know, his house got burnt. Practically everything happened at one time. There are so many people in this world in whose life such things happen. Everything gets destroyed at one time. But Avanti Brahman, when this happened to him, he started crying. He started lamenting, rolling on the ground, bitterly, bitterly crying because he lost everything. People whom he loved, people whom he actually took shelter of, people whom he trusted. Everyone betrayed him. Everyone ran away when they realized that he is useless. The material world is filled with such consciousness, filled with such experiences. Such experiences, after such an experience, there are two ways to handle. One person would say, let me fight it out. I'm going to fight no matter what. There are people like that in this world also. No matter what, we fight it out, fight it out, fight it out. And then they keep fighting, fighting, fighting. At some point of time, even if they win few small battles, they lose the war at the time of death. Here, Avanti Brahman, when this happened to his life, he said, enough is enough. I've tried everything to give me pleasure, nothing has worked. He said, now a strong realization has dawned in my life. He said, the only person who is fit taking shelter of, the only person who is fit being trusted, the only person who can actually help me in any way is Krishna. Let me take shelter of him helplessly. When Srila Prabhupada, when the Acharyas talk about crying for Krishna, what is the meaning of that? When the Acharyas talk about this concept of how babies cry for their mothers, what is the meaning of that? It is talking about this feeling of helplessness, that there is nothing I can do to protect myself, there is nothing I can do to nourish myself, there is nothing I can do to gain trust of people. And in fact, nobody is trustable. If at all we need to take shelter, we need to take shelter of the process. We need to take shelter of Krishna very, very strongly. Every time something happens in the material world where somebody lets you down, it's to rejuvenate your consciousness to take shelter of Krishna more. All of us will face these challenges. All of us will face these situations. If no one lets us down, our body will definitely let us down. When people let us down, when things let us down, and when situations let us down, that is the time when we need to aggravate our taking shelter of the Lord. When we need to aggravate our helpless mood of taking shelter. And if we can create they have these games which create an ambience. I don't know what you call it. Some of these video games. If you can enter into a virtual world of what it feels to be helpless. I mean, we don't necessarily have to become helpless to enter into such a world. If you can enter into a virtual world of feeling helpless. Because now or later it's going to happen. Better start practicing. Better start actually, being ready for it. If we can actually create an environment of helplessness within ourselves, then the concept of Kirtanat, Anukirtanat becomes even more stronger. Krishna, he talks about, just imagine what Krishna is doing to these Brahmana Patnis. What have they done? They have abandoned their houses. They have given up the shelter which is actually going to give them permanent, protection. At least in this life. They've abandoned that to take shelter of eternal protection. But the person who is going to give them eternal protection is telling them go back home. Back to the permanent, whatever, temporary protection of this world. Is Krishna actually letting us down? Is Krishna, this is the way Krishna behaves with his devotees? If you study it from one level, it's scary. But if you study it from another level, it's very hope-giving. When the Brahmana Patnis went back home, the Brahmanas just accepted them as if nothing happened. Just accepted them as if it was a normal course. And in fact, the Brahmanas became respectful towards them. Trying to please people in this world is very easy. In the sense that, just follow whatever they want you to do. You'll please them. But, for them to be able to respect you, it is very difficult. You may please them, but you will not gain respect from them. Here is a situation where apparently the Brahmana Patnis displeased their husbands. But eventually, because they pleased Krishna, they gained respect from their husbands. And eventually, the husbands actually started worshipping them. The secret of how to influence others is not by following them, but by following Krishna and setting ideal standards of behavior which pulls out respect from them. So, in this world, to make buttermilk, one has to first put in some, in milk, one has to put in buttermilk. Milk is there, it doesn't really have buttermilk in it at that point of time. But when you put in buttermilk in it the previous day, and the next day you churn it vigorously, then what comes out is butter, a lot of butter. And that butter is very tasty. So this concept of Shravan and Anukirtan, Shravan and Kirtan, Shravan means the previous day put buttermilk into the milk, and the next day chant Hare Krishna. This combination of adding, you know, nectar into your ears, buttermilk is kind of nectar. And when you add buttermilk in your consciousness, and you churn the consciousness very vigorously by chanting Hare Krishna, the result that comes out is nectar. So here, when Krishna is talking about telling the Brahmana Patnis to go back home, he is not sending them helplessly. He is not sending them without any aid. He is sending them with a powerful aid. What is the aid which he is sending them with? He is sending them with the aid of practice. So, physical association without practice is not recommended by Krishna. Krishna doesn't recommend just being physically close to him. What Krishna recommends is stay far, no problem, but practice. You can distance yourself from God by being physically close to God, but you can make your connection with God stronger by practicing the process that is recommended by God. One time there was a man who wanted to show that he is a great devotee, and he wanted to show himself to be a great devotee of Narasingadev. So, you know, I mean, he had a very unique way of showing that he is a great devotee. He wanted to make a tattoo on his arms, huge tattoo, you know. I'm not saying that's not a right way, I'm just saying that this is the way he chose. So he went to a person who makes tattoos, and the man was making tattoos. He started his work, and the moment he drew a few lines, it started paining him immensely. This man started screaming. He said, "Stop it." He said, "I just started." He said, what did you draw?" He said, "I was drawing Narasingadev's nails." He said, "That's why it's paining me. Draw face first." And then he started drawing the face, you know, and he couldn't handle that also. He said, no, draw the legs first. And then he started drawing the legs. He couldn't handle that also. He said, draw the body first. He couldn't handle it. Then after some time, he ran away. But then he didn't know how it looked. He couldn't really see what it was looking. So he started running around the village and showing, see, I have Narasingadev on my body. But actually, it was only scratches here and there, you know, nothing really, you know, of substance. Practicing devotion in the spirit of this man to show the world is very easy. That's most people's goal, in fact. People want to practice some form of religion, some form of spirituality to show that I am pious, to show that I can be trusted, to show that I have integrity. Because Krishna consciousness or any form of spirituality is also connected with an expectation of integrity. So people want to show the world that, just see, I am so much devotion, I have so much devotion in my heart. But they don't really want to practice in that way. So most people who show such forms of devotion show their physical proximity with great teachers. They have a photograph with some big personality hang on, you know, stuck on their walls, or they have, you know, books of spiritual nature put on their shelves, or they have some big mala hanging on their necks. These kind of physical proximities is what Krishna doesn't want. What Krishna really wants is your internal proximity towards him. And that internal proximity is not a matter of show. It's a matter of substance. It's a matter of practice. And therefore, the scriptures describe so many stories of devotees with such substance. In the south, there is an amazing Vaishnav. His name is Bhakti Sar. Two stories from this life actually bring out the quality of such a devotee with substance. This man, he was born in a Shudra family, but he was an exalted devotee. One time he was in a town which is known as Mahavyagrahapuri. And when he was in this town, he was begging. He would live by begging, moving around the streets, begging at different people. And the amazing thing was, because he was such a devotee of substance, the deity of the Lord, Lord Vishnu, from inside the temple, his face would face the direction in which this person is moving in the village. The pujari in the temple would get bewildered. Just imagine Gopinath turning his face around wherever some devotee is going. This man, I mean, the pujari, when he was looking at this, the deity turning his face, he's go from this house to this house, the deity would look. Go from this house, the deity would look. Keep moving his face all day long. So the pujari was bewildered. And then there was a yajna in one place, and there were some ritualistic brahmanas, just like this. These brahmanas were performing a yajna. And the pujari of this temple, to give the first argya for this yajna, he got bhaktisara. The brahmanas, they couldn't believe it. They started condemning Bhaktisara. They started abusing him. They started shouting at him. And they started saying, how can you get a Shudra to take the first argya? The same story that happened with Haridas Thakur when Advaita Acharya wanted to give him the first argya. The pujari, he was bewildered. He didn't know what to say. But because these people were very powerful brahmanas, he requested Bhaktisara, my dear Bhaktisara, please ask the Lord to show some miracle. Bhaktisara, he said, my dear Lord, please fulfill this brahmana's desire. And the Lord, on his forehead, manifested himself. On the forehead, there was a CCTV. And these people, they couldn't believe what they were seeing. They were seeing the deity, the worshipable deity on the forehead of this man. All of them fell prostrated obeisances to this devotee. Devotees of substance don't really need to prove that they are big. The Lord does so many things to prove that they are big, right? One time, Bhaktisara, he went to Kumbakonam. Kumbakonam is one of the holy places. In fact, Kumbakonam is the place where the Panchatattva was made. The Panchatattva in Mayapur, the beautiful 9 feet tall deities, it was made in this holy place. And in this holy place, there is a beautiful temple, which is known as a deity of Sharangapani. So Bhaktisara, one time he visited this place. And this was a deity of the Lord lying down on a snake bed. And when Bhaktisara went to this place, he saw the Lord lying down. He started glorifying the Lord. I mean, he had his unique style of glorifying the Lord. He was telling the Lord, he was praying like this. He was saying, my dear Lord, at some point of time, you walked around the entire earth, you know, when you were exiled for 14 years. And you did so many things, wonderful. You had to exert yourself so much. And you had to cross an ocean walking. So because you're so tired, now you're resting down, lying on a bed. As soon as the Lord heard this, he got up and he was sitting, you know. Because he felt that the devotee wanted him to sit. So he kind of sat up. So while he was sitting up, Bhaktisara said, my dear Lord, no need of getting up. And the Lord remained in a half getting up, half sleeping posture. This posture of the Lord is known as Uttana Shayana. He's getting up, but he's sleeping, you know. So the Lord reciprocates with people of such substance. And people of such substance need not be externally, from a showy point of view, having so much knowledge, or so much erudition, so much scholarship, or so much fame, so much name, nothing of that sort. In fact, you find most of the reciprocation of the Lord with his devotees are of devotees whom no one knows. And after the Lord reciprocates, everyone knows them. So, here, in this particular pastime, the Lord is showing us, through these Brahmana Patnis, what it means to be a devotee of substance, what it means to develop love towards Him. So the Lord is very merciful towards His devotees. There is a story of Parashar Bhatt. One time, one man came to Parashar Bhatt and asked him, he said, I cannot understand why Lord Ram behaves different ways, you know. He said, Lord Ram, he was so angry, he was going to dry up the entire ocean. And the ocean took shelter of the Lord, and immediately the anger changed. He started loving him. He said, what kind of person is this? Split personality. Suddenly he loves, suddenly he is angry, you know. So Parashar Bhatt, he gave an explanation. And he's a teacher, and he's a good teacher. Good teachers have good ways of explaining simple things. So he quoted a story. He said, one time there was a beggar. And this beggar, he went to a very rich man's house. And this rich man, he was bald, had no hair. And this beggar, when he went to beg this rich man's house, he started glorifying the rich man like anything. My dear sir, you have such beautiful hair. They are flowing like the Mother Ganga, and you know, so many things. this man, he became so happy. He said, whatever you're saying, is it true? He said, of course. And he said, I'm so happy with you, I'll give you a bag of rice. He gave him a bag of rice, you know. This beggar was walking away. And on the way, he met another man. And this man said, where did you get this rice from? He said, from the rich man. And this man went to the rich man and he said, my dear sir, this beggar, he has cheated you. He's calling you a bald man all over the town. This rich man, he started running towards the beggar to take the bag of grain back, you know. And the beggar started saying, my dear sir, please don't run. Your beautiful hair is flowing like in the wind. And this man, he became so happy, he gave him another bag of rice. Parashar Bhatta quoted this story and he said, if an insignificant man of this world can become happy by glorification, why will Lord Ram not become happy? So here, Krishna is personally telling what is the process to make him happy. Shravanat, Darshanat, Dhyanat, Bhava Anukirtanat. The gopis and the wives, in fact, it is explained, if you study in the Srimad Bhagavatam much later, I don't know whether we'll actually reach that verse, but at least that verse is there, where Krishna is actually telling the gopis, he's quoting the exact same verse, not one letter different, exact same verse, he's telling the gopis when they came for the Rasa dance in the middle of the night. He's telling them, please go back home. And after the gopis hear this verse, after the Brahmana Patnis hear this verse, they go back home. After the gopis hear this verse, they become angry with Krishna. And they don't go back home. Now, what do we understand? The understanding is very simple. Our consciousness is to please Krishna. Our desire is to please Krishna. We do not have to live to please people of this world. And when we see these two different devotees behaving in two different ways, the first thing is that we have to learn not to analyze pure devotees. Because Vishnu Thakur Thakur explains, both of them got the same benefit. One by returning and one by not returning. So for us, it's not a matter of analyzing these exalted Vaishnavas. But what we need to learn is that we need to live in this world not to please people of this world, but to please Krishna. We study the pastimes of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Each pastime of the Srimad Bhagavatam is lined up with the same theme. The theme is, don't live in this world to please people of this world. Bali Maharaj, trying to please Shukracharya, his teacher, he said, I don't care. I want to please the Supreme Lord. Jadabharat, he tried his best to please different people. He tried to please a deer and he couldn't please even one deer. He said, hell with pleasing people of this world. The only person I want to please is the Supreme Lord. Therefore, the next life, when he became Jadabharat, he became so jada towards things of this world, but he was very sensitive towards connection with Krishna. Fearlessness of Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj, fear is born out of attachment. But when there is connection to Krishna very, very strong, there is absolutely no question of fear. Because his fear was I pleasing Krishna or no? Because he was living with the fear of wanting to please Krishna, he never had fear of things and people of this world. So eventually, the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam through this verse, which Shukadeva Goswami is narrating, which Krishna is actually sharing with the Brahmana Patnis and being narrated by Shukadeva Goswami, is the fact that this is the way we need to take shelter of the Lord. Shravanat, Darshanat, Dhyanat, Mai Bhavo Anukirtanat, Na Tata Sannikarshena, Pratiyata Tato Grihan. Which means that our whole focus should be to please Krishna with love and devotion. And we don't have to really change situations of this world. We don't really have to expect situations of this world to change. They will not change, and in fact, they will go for the worst. But when we take shelter of the Lord in this mood, which Krishna is recommending, eventually, the world will be pleased also. Just like the Brahmanas were pleased with the behavior of the Brahmana Patnis. Hare Krishna. Sorry, it's already late. I'm sorry if I spoke anything beyond my realizations or understanding, but it's something for my purification. If it inspired you all, my gratefulness. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Yeah.